I'll let you stay seated. I usually have them to stand for the reading of God's Word.
I think we should stand for the reading of God's Word, don't you? Let's stand. Sorry, Pastor.
The prophet Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 6, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." And then the apostle James in chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And then lastly, from Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Let us pray. Gracious God, open up our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirits to God, what you would have us to know and to experience here today. Holy Spirit, may the written word become the living word in our hearts and lives today. For we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been looking at different characters of God. And today we're going to talk about one character that ties everything that we have covered so far together. And that is, does God change? And the answer to that is God does not change. God is immutable. But you and I, we live in a world of constant change. I have a letter here written to the President of the United States, and I'd like to share it with you to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Dear President Jackson, the canal system of this country is being threatened by a new form of transportation known as the railroads. The federal government must preserve the canals for the following reason. Number one, if boats are supplanted by railroads, serious unemployment will result. Captains, cooks, drivers, hosters, repairmen, and lock tenders will be left without any means of livelihood, not to mention the numerous farmers now employed to grow hay for the horses. Two, boat builders will suffer, and tow line, whip, and harness makers will be left destitute. Three, canal boats are an essential part of the defense of the United States. In the event of unexpected trouble with England, the Erie Canal would be the only means by which we could move supplies to wage modern warfare. As you well know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which, in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring livestock and frightening women and children. The Almighty God certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. Now you think, what a kook. That was penned by the governor of New York at that time, Governor Martin Van Buren, who would later become the Secretary of the Navy, the Vice President of the United States, a United States Senator, and President of the United States. If he could see the change now. As a matter of fact, change is happening so rapidly in our time that it's hard for all of us to digest all of the change that is taking place. There's a term for it. It's called future shock. You know what that's like. By the time you get the technology figured out, it's obsolete. And you got to start all over again. It has been estimated that everything that human beings learned from the time of Jesus Christ to 1500 A.D., if you added all that stuff up, okay, that all of that information doubled by 1750. In other words, what it took 1500 years to accumulate doubled in 250 years. And then by 1840, in less than 100 years, all of that information doubled again. And right now, according to these people who calculate this stuff, human knowledge and information is doubling every 12 hours. That's amazing. Why all of the stuff for 1,500 years is now doubled in 12 hours. We're living in a fast-paced, changing world. But there's one thing that does not change. God said, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, why is that important? I want to share with you briefly this morning. As we do, I want to review what we've looked at so far. Number one, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Jeremiah 23:24, no one can hide where I cannot see him, says the Lord. I feel all of heaven and earth, says the Lord. God is everywhere. Sometimes we talk about the presence of God coming down. Well, the presence of God is everywhere. You're just not aware of it. I'm reminded in the Bible, a guy by the name of Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh and tell them about me. Jonah didn't want to, so he gets on a boat and he goes the opposite direction. Instead of Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish, which is towards Spain. The only problem was he ran right smack dab into God, because you see, God was already there. We worship and serve a God that is present everywhere in the universe. Secondly, we worship a God that knows everything. We call that omniscient. In 1 John 3:20, for God is greater than our thoughts and He knows everything. Now, why is that important? God knows everything about you and He still loves you. You see, you try to cover up a lot of things in your life because you think, well, if people knew this about me, they wouldn't love me. But God knows all of your secrets. And God still loves you. I don't know if you've been caught up this week in what's been going on in the Capitol with the confirmation process of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Now, Judge Kavanaugh says, I absolutely did not do this. And Christine Ford says, I'm 100% sure you're the guy. Now, let me tell you what I'm 100% sure of. One of them's telling a lie. But here's what I want you to know. The all-seeing, all-knowing God knows which one is telling a lie. But I want you to get this. God loves both of them equally. And then the third thing we've seen is that God can do all things. God is omnipotent. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything God chooses to do. Now, let me tell you why the immutability of God, what we're going to talk about today, is important. You see, if God was not unchanging, He could have been all-powerful back then, but not all-powerful today. You see, if God was not immutable, He could be all-knowing back then, but not all-knowing now. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Kent. As you get older, what don't hurt don't work. You see, I can remember as a teenager running a quarter of a mile in 54 seconds. Now I run it in 54 minutes. You see, if God were unchanging, it might be that He was all-powerful in Abraham's day, in David's day, but He's not all-powerful in my day. But because God is unchanging, He is the same today that it was yesterday and forevermore. And so today we see that God never changes, that He is immutable. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. The word immutable is an interesting word. It's a Latin word. Im means not, and mutate means to change. God does not change. You understand what that means? That means God is never changing. That means God is never developing. God is never improving. God is never growing. You see, if God were to improve, it would mean He was never perfect to start with. God is unchanging. Well, what's some practical applications of that? Number one, God is never changing in His promises. Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised long ages ago. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Folks, you want to build your life on something that's going to outlive you. You want to build your life on something that is unchangeable and unshakable and cannot be moved. Jesus said, my word is unchanging. You see, a lot of people today, they have their faith and confidence in science. And that is totally misplaced. I can go back to my college textbooks, Brother Grant, and I had to take so many science classes. And let me tell you what, every one of those science books have in common, every single one of them is obsolete. Every single one of them is obsolete. But friend, I want you to know the Word of God will stand forever. And you need to build your life on something that's going to outlast you. Build your life on the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says it this way. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, I haven't counted them, but a fellow by the name of Vance Hefner went from Genesis to Revelation, and he says there are 8,810 promises in the Word of God. And here's what I want you to know. All 8,810 have not changed. Okay? The promises of God that God made are as much applicable today as they were the day God said it, as the time that God had it written down. William Carey, the father of modern missions, said it this way. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And folks, God's promises never change. Secondly, God is never changing in His purposes. Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change His mind, you are a priest forever. Do you understand that God's got a plan for your life? God's got a purpose for your life? And it's not going to change. If somebody else does something against you, God's plan and purpose for you is not going to change. You understand if you mess up and you get it wrong, God's plan and purpose for you is not going to change. Notice there what He said. The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever. And then in the New Testament, Romans 11:29, I love this verse. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. Irrevocable. That means God's plan and God's purpose for your life is never going to change. You say, but preacher, you just don't know how bad I have messed up. You don't know the mistakes I've made. Listen, you may have made mistakes, but God has not. God's purpose and plan has not changed no matter what you've done or what somebody else has done. I want to tell you a true story told by John Barnett. John Barnett was a soldier in Vietnam in 1971. He met a young South Vietnamese Christian by the name of Hien Pham. And he was very fluent in reading and speaking of English. And so he was a translator for the United States military, but he was also a translator to missionaries, Christian missionaries, working in South Vietnam to share the gospel. Well, when the United States withdrew from South Vietnam and the Viet Cong overran Saigon, Hanh Pham was captured as a spy by the Viet Cong. You have assisted the Americans. You have assisted these Christians. And so therefore you are an enemy of the state. And so they imprisoned him, they beat him, they tortured him, and they began to try to brainwash him with Marxist communism. And every day, they beat him down. There is no God. There is no God. You've been deceived by the West. You've been deceived by the missionaries. And finally, they broke him down to the point that he got up one day and he decided he was not going to pray to God. He'd never remembered a time in his life when he not prayed to God, but he decided that day, I'm not talking to God. It looked like they had finally got to him. Well, when he reported to the authorities, they said, all right, today you have latrine duty. Everybody hated latrine duty. And as he was in there cleaning up the toilets, he saw in the basket what looked like a piece of paper with English on it. And for years he hadn't seen anything from English, nothing from the outside world. And he looked around and he reached in that basket and he pulled it out and he stuck it in his pocket. He completed his task. And at the end of the day, when everybody was asleep, he got out a little flashlight and he took that little piece of paper and he unrolled it. He wanted to see what it was in English that somebody had thrown away. And you want me to tell you what he saw? He couldn't believe what he saw. Here's what he read. And all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. And then he read on down and said, who can separate us from the love of God? Can war or famine or tribulation separate? He says, no, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And right there on that spot, Hanh Pham rededicated his life to God and said, there is a God. God, you have sent me a message. And Lord, my faith has been renewed. Well, the next day, the Viet Cong showed back up. And he says, can I volunteer for a latrine duty? They said, do what? He's gone mad. Well, sure you can. And he went in there and he cleaned out the latrines and he went to the wastebasket. And guess what? He found some more English text that was the Bible. You see, what will happen is one of those Viet Cong communist soldiers had an English Bible and he was tearing the pages out of it and using it for toilet paper and throwing it in the basket. And here this young man was so starved for the Word of God, he would go through the basket, get out this stuff, clean it up, stick it in his pocket, and every night get it out to read. Folks, this went on for years. And then one day the Viet Cong came to him and said, all right, you're free to go. They just let him go. So he went to a little village and he started building a boat. He said, you know, I'm going to get away from here. I'm going to go to America where I can worship and serve God. And so he began working on a little boat. Some of the village in there started helping him. And there was a total of 53 people from the village, plus himself. And they're going to escape, and they're building the boat, and the boat's almost finished. And the next day, they're going to go out into the ocean in this man-made boat, primitive boat. And there's a knock. He goes to the door, and there's four North Vietnamese Viet Cong soldiers. And they said, are you Hanh Pham? He said, I am. He said, we heard that you are building a boat and that you have planned to escape with 53 other people. Is that true? And he looked at them and he thought, oh my gosh. He said, no, that's not true. I don't know who told you that, but that is not true. They said, okay. And they left. And immediately fell under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hanh, you lied to those people. You lied to those people. And he said, God, I don't want to go back to that prison. God, I want to get away from this place. I want to get to a place where I can worship and serve you in freedom. But God, you're right. I lied. And God, I will not lie again. And if I'm asked again, I will tell the truth, God. And so the next day they're leaving to get on the boat, right? Before they ever leaves his room, there's a knock on the door. Same four Viet Cong soldiers are there. Hein Pham. We have heard on good information that you have built a boat and that you plan to escape. Is that true? And he just bowed his head and he said, yes, it's true. It's true. They said, good, can we go with you? Good, can we go with you? And he said, well, I don't see why not. And so that afternoon, all 58 of them got on this homemade boat and went out into the ocean in an effort to escape. Well, when they got out there, they ran into this terrible storm the next day. And Hein is saying, oh God, if you brought me this far to let me drown in the ocean. But the good news is God saw him through the storm. He reached Thailand and is now in the United States as a citizen, serving and worshiping God. But here's what he said to John Barnett when he saw him many years later. He said, John, if it had not been for those four Viet Cong soldiers and their expertise, we would have never survived the storm. Friend, what I want you to understand is God, he knows everything. God is present everywhere. God can do anything. And the unchanging God had a plan for Hein Pham, and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And no matter what anybody else does or doesn't do, God's plan is unchanging, irrevocable. And then number three, God is never changing in his person. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Can I get a witness today? People change. People change. You know, when you get married, that's why you make a vow to God. You understand, when you walk down the aisle and you get married, that person you get married to 7 years from now, they're not going to be the same person that walked down that aisle. Can I get a witness? Can anybody say amen?
Amen?
Can anybody say, oh me? You see, sometimes what will happen is a tragedy will take place in somebody's life and they'll say they've never been the same. Sometimes people will have a surgery and say they haven't been the same since then. Sometimes there will be a crisis and people say, well, they've never been the same. You understand that God never changes in his person. When you meet God 7 years later, 100 years later, 1,000,000 years later, God is the same God. He does not change. And folks, I don't know about you, but that comforts me. That encourages me that God is not some whimsical, fickle person like we are, but that God is unchanging. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Do you know there's never been a time in your life that God didn't love you? I want you to think for just a moment. I want you to think about the time that you were the best that you've ever been. You know, when your mama was proud of you. I mean, the best you've ever been. All right, you got that picture in your mind? All right, now I want you to think for a moment the worst that you've ever been. You got that picture in your mind? Did you know that God didn't love you any more when you were the best that you ever were than he loved you when you were at the worst that you ever were? You see, sometimes I think we come to the church and we come to the worship and we're thinking, you know what? God, I've messed up. God, I've blown it. God, you've got to be mad at me. Listen, God is madly in love with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. That's never going to change. It's never going to change. I read the story about a little boy that got in trouble all the time. Anybody in here, any guys relate to that? He got in trouble all the time. He came from a good family. He was loved. He got the attention and the nurture and all the things, Brother Grant, that we talked about, those five things that you mentioned a while ago. He got all of those things and so much more. But he was all the time in trouble. But one day something happened. It changed his life. You know what that was? He was upstairs in his bedroom, And he had his bat and he had his ball out and he's playing around, even though he'd been told not to play inside the house. And so he's up there and he's playing and he's goofing off. And guess what? Crash! The window's broken out. Dad comes up there, sees what's going on. He said, "Son, you broke the rules. You know, there's no playing in the house. Now, what am I going to do with you?" And his dad reached over and jerked his belt off. Little boy knew what was coming. He just went ahead and laid across the bed. And the dad said, "Get up." He handed the little boy the belt. And then dad took off his shirt. Dad laid across the bed. He said, "Now, son, I want you to hit me 7 times as hard as you can." He said, "Oh, no, Dad, I can't do that." He said, "Yeah, you're going to do it." And so he took that belt and he kind of did like this. And his dad said, "No, son, I mean, you got to do it hard. I mean, you rear back and you do it hard." He said, "No, Dad, I can't." He said, "I said to do it." And so he reared back and he hit him real hard. He said, "Do it again." And he hit him again 7 times. And by the time he got through, the little boy's just a weeping and a crying. And his dad got up, put his shirt back on. He said, "Son, do you understand why I did what I just did? You broke the rules. You deserve to be punished. I hadn't done anything wrong, but I took your punishment for you. That's what Jesus Christ did for you, son. On the cross, when he was scourged and he's whipped and he beat, he didn't do anything wrong. He took your punishment, son." Folks, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ who took those stripes 2,000 years ago, that died on that cross, he is the same Jesus today. He loved you the same way today that he loved you when he stretched out his arms on that cross. He's an unchanging God. God doesn't change in his person. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.'" In a group this size, I know that there are people in this room and people have let you down and disappointed you. Recently, I had one woman tell me, said, "My mother hasn't spoken to me in over 7 years. Some of you know what it's like to come home and to find a Dear Jane or Dear John letter on the table where somebody has walked out of your life. Can I tell you the good news today is that God is an unchanging God. God's not going to change his mind about you. God's not going to say, "Well, I loved you back then, but because you've done this, I don't love you anymore." God is unchanging. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Oh, I'm so glad we have an unchanging, immutable God who doesn't change in his person. Well, we could go on and on, but I'm going to land the plane right here. God doesn't change, but God wants to change us. Matthew 18:3. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless you change and become like a little child. Now, he's not saying we're to be childish, but to be like a little child. Well, what is the attribute of a little child? A little child is so trusting. They'll even trust a stranger. That's why we have to tell them, don't talk to strangers, don't take gifts from strangers. If the stranger comes along and says his puppy's lost, don't help him find it. Because what? Children are trusting. And so God says he wants us to be like a little child and to trust him. What is it in your life today that God is asking you to trust him with? The unchanging, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the omnipresent, the everlasting, loving Father. What is he asking you to trust him with today? I understand the fair is in town. Close to the fair is the circus. And there was a family called the Flying Rodellas. They were trapeze artists. You know, the ones that get up there and they grab a hold of the swing and they swing it up there in the top and they let go and turn somersaults and catch each other and all of that stuff. The Flying Rodellas. And hear what they said. They said the most important part of the trapeze act is you have two parts. One, you have the flyer, and number two, you have the catcher. And if you're the flyer, what happens is you grab a hold of that trapeze, and when you reach the farthest arc, what you have to do is you have to let go and just wait. And then the other person that's on the other side is called the catcher. And I never knew this before, but the two of them don't go out there and grab each other. The flyer flies and just lets go and just waits for the catcher to catch them. And that's the secret to making it work. Well, folks, I believe that that's what God's asking you to do today. I believe God's saying to you, you know what? I want you to be the flyer. I want you to just simply let go and let me catch you. What is it that God is asking you to let go of? I don't know what it is, but God knows. You know what it is. And in a moment, God is going to ask you to simply let go and let God catch you. He's going to ask you to trust Him. It may be in the area of your family. It may be in the area of your marriage. It may be in the area of finances. It may be in the area of your job. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit's already working on your heart. And He's saying, hey, I want you to let go. I want you to trust me. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to let go and trust the unchanging God that knows everything about you and loves you with an everlasting love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know everything. You knew who was going to be here today. You knew, God, what we were going to sing and what I was going to say. God, you know what's going on in the heart of every person that is here. And God, there are some folks here today that are dealing with some things. And God, you're inviting them to let go and to trust you. Father, I pray as we have this time of invitation, that by faith in the unchanging Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that they will let go, trust Him to catch them. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing. We invite you to come. Let go. Trust God.